All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to leave up holiday decorations year-round. Others have the need to use their garage as practice space for their new metal band. And because each homeowner has unique needs, GEICO helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with GEICO.
This problem right here is why I am against mixed sex friend groups. Your friend group should be your girls, and your friend group should be your boys. So then, you know, the friend groups can like come together and intermingle, but the core needs to be the fellas and the ladies. Like none of this regular, you know, mixed friend group nonsense. Because then you have this problem where you're like, oh, I don't know the friends. I don't want to lose my friend group. That would not happen if they were your girls and not your friend group. You know, your weird platonic polycule. You got to cut that out.
Welcome to The Crunch, the only podcast that's in the March Madness tournament, and we are competing in the basketball game. And it's me and Patrick against very large college men.
A real Cinderella story.
That's true. What if we won? What if the two of us won and it was like Mike and we both found and we found Michael Jordan's shoes and I put on the right shoe and you put on the left shoe and together we each made up one Michael Jordan
and we competed. In Space Jam.
I'm talking about a movie called Like Mike that already exists. Oh. You don't have to compare it to a different movie.
Oh.
Have you not seen Like Mike with Lil Bow Wow?
I have seen Like Mike with Lil Bow Wow.
Yeah.
Or was it Lil Romeo?
And Jesse Plemons is in it.
The guy from Breaking Bad?
Yeah, the guy who says, how can that be profitable for Frito-Lay?
That sounds like a line that you would quote often. How can that be profitable for Frito-Lay?
No, I don't quote it. I don't think jokes with brands in them are, you should repeat.
Except for, I'm the Frito Bandito. What was it?
See, now you're talking about, is because it's got a brand in it? I don't know.
Were the one who told me about the Frito Bandito.
I don't recall, Your Honor.
Ben,
the defendant requests a recess.
Someone's been watching Daredevil Born Again.
I've been saying that when I get into discussions that I don't know how to get out of.
And so you said that to me the other day when I got you real good.
And you didn't reply. I got out of the conversation. So who's
that's
the real
true.
Winner?
I did grant the recess. I did grant the motion. I was gonna say that you're being the bigger man wearing the Focus sweatshirt, even though they jilted us in that top 10 podcast article that they wrote.
I don't think Focus approves jilting outside of marriage.
you read the article? You saw it?
I read the article, yeah.
It was all Priest podcasts and Pints with Aquinas.
Tell the people what the article was.
So the article, I think they kind of got the gist. Focus released a top 10 podcast article. Once upon a time, we would get featured in those articles and it would be the best thing ever. It would be the best day of my life and I would ride that high. Not anymore, but Focus released like a top 10 podcast you got to listen to in 2025. I think one of them was Bible in a Year. It was like basically every Ascension podcast that has a religious or a priest on it. And then every podcast had a priest or a religious, and then Pints with Aquinas made it on. I was like, good for Matt, breaking the clerical glass ceiling. You love to see it.
Just give it a year.
Give it a year, you think?
We'll be up there. Because I think there's only so long that we can pretend that Catholic apologetics are interesting in a podcast format.
It is.
They're important. They're important. And you have to have
friendscom.
ConvinceYourFriends.com, or just the Bible in a Year. All of these are very important, very good. That doesn't mean that they're good podcasts.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
It's missing a certain je ne sais quoi, you know? For those of you who are podcast aficionados, it's a little, there's something missing. Much like our podcast. Our podcast is missing something that people just can't seem to put their finger on, and yet they come back to us like an abusive ex-boyfriend. They return every week.
Speaking of abusive ex-boyfriends, I think we have some dating questions that people have submitted.
Yeah, there we go. Right into it.
I want to talk
about. We got a comment. We got a comment the other day about how we took like 30 minutes to get to the topic that was in the title, and I felt bad. I was like, you're right.
You can get over it.
You and I react to criticism very differently on this podcast.
Why? What am I supposed to say? You listen to a podcast, you see do you expect that in the first 3 seconds we're talking about the thing that's I don't expect that when I listen. I don't even look at the title when I listen to a podcast. I'm like, oh, the podcast is uploaded. Let me listen to that.
You know? I sympathize with her because when I'm looking for a podcast on this happened to be like, I was looking for a podcast on email marketing and it was like, they weren't getting to the part about email marketing. They were just talking about their lives. And I get that. However, this is a comedy conversation.
It's like watching an episode of Friends and it's the one with the holiday armadillo and you're like 10 minutes in. It's like, where's this stupid holiday? I wanted to see the holiday armadillo. It didn't show up until 17 minutes into the episode.
Come on.
Like, what do you expect? You can't do the best part right away.
So dating questions. I'm excited.
I'm ready.
These because we got a patron because she was like, you got to answer my dating question on the podcast.
Should we answer her question first as a reward for joining patreon.com/thecrunch?
As a reward for going to patreon.com/thecrunch. Did you know that it's actually patreon.com/join/thecrunch? Did you know that's how you got to do it? If you just go to patreon.com/thecrunch, it brings you to our page and then you have to click again. So I think what we have to do is we have to do thecrunchcast.com/support or join or something.
Yeah, we'll figure
it out. So we just
send
it to whatever.
Anyway.
She does five. She gave us $5 for this month. Who knows if she'll cancel after this? Maybe we should wait.
No, I think. No, why would we wait? We need to be generous.
I'm just kidding. We got to give it right away. This is from Make It Raina. I'm assuming her name is Raina.
Mm-hmm.
Hi, I'm new here and looking for some advice. My boyfriend is 28. I am 24. Mm-hmm. I am Catholic. Oh, they've been together for 10 months. She is Catholic. He is Greek Orthodox. He is Latvian Orthodox. We have done the research to ensure that our relationship has the potential to end in marriage. They've been in the library. They're looking it up.
Weird way to say that, but okay.
We've concluded that as long as we get married in the church, in his church, and have the Catholic Church approve it, and raise our kids Catholic. I know deep down he'd rather raise his kids Greek Orthodox. Does our relationship have potential to become a fulfilling marriage if neither of us intend to convert? To elaborate, in case they haven't looked at the question yet, my main fear is that down the line, one of us will resent the other for not converting. It is already starting to bother me a bit that he strays away from coming to Catholic-focused young adult events with me, and he says they'll make him feel uncomfortable. If we're going to raise our kids Catholic, in the hypothetical scenario where we get married, he needs to be comfortable going to Catholic events and learning more about Catholic Church teachings. Already, I have learned there are more differences between Orthodoxy and Catholicism than I initially thought. IDK, maybe I'm overthinking this. Love, Make It Raina. I added the love.
To be fair, I don't think you can fault a 28-year-old man for not wanting to go to Catholic young adult events.
That's true. A lot of them are young lady coded. I mean that in the most loving way possible.
I also think it's if you're just going for your girlfriend and you're not, because you're not getting. Let's just think about what type of resources are available to the average Catholic young adult ministry. They're not getting the best speakers. They're not going to the coolest bars with the hottest guys. They're going to the diocesan events center. And they're having pizza and someone that is friends with the diocesan youth minister is giving a talk.
Yep.
So if you're 28 and you're Greek Orthodox and you're used to Father Alexikonomikos speaking fervently about the faith, it's kind of a
holding a cross in his hand while he talks.
Like we got to be honest about the situation here. I don't think you can hold that against him because that's probably, and he's 28. If everybody there's like 23, it's kind of like, what are we doing? You know?
Yeah.
But I do think it's a bigger issue if he's not willing to learn about the Catholic Church at all.
Yes.
Do you think that's
also
red flag?
I can't imagine that the Greek Orthodox don't have the same stipulation that we do, where if you get married in a Greek Greek Orthodox church, you have to raise your kids Greek Orthodox.
Yeah, it's funny that it's just the Catholics that are, you have to raise your kids Catholic, but the Greek Orthodox are like, you can get married here, but we don't really care what you do after that.
I don't think that's true. I think they'll get you. I think they'll make sure that you are Greek Orthodox and they won't marry you unless you're both.
Do they have canon law in the Greek Orthodox? I mean, is there anybody, Really?
Yeah. They just don't call it that.
How do they
all of the churches are sui juris. I think that means they have their own law. And so like the Roman canon only applies to Roman Catholic churches. Right. Yeah.
Of course. Is the Greek Orthodox law, is it essentially just, you know, prescribed amounts of olive oil per week?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, you have to eat
mandatory attendance at the Greek festival in March.
Yeah, you have to go to Kava once a month. I don't know too much about the Mediterranean.
Kava, like the drink?
You got to build a pillar, etc.
You got to drink Kava. Do you have those?
Kava is a restaurant. Kava is a restaurant. Are you dumb? Do you not have Kava in Florida?
So we have a drink called Kava. Mm. Is Kava also a restaurant?
Kava is a restaurant. It's Mediterranean Chipotle.
Ah, yes.
This seems like the type of place that you really would love.
Mediterranean Chipotle?
Yeah.
There's a restaurant in Pittsburgh that is, I think, called Kava in the Strip District, but I don't think it's a Chipotle. It's not a franchise.
It's crazy that you're going to the Strip District as a married man. Let's get back to the issue at hand.
Okay.
Do you think that there's a future for this couple?
I don't know. Yeah, I think so. I think it's fine. I think he'll convert. I'm just kidding. I don't. Yeah. I'm more worried about getting married in the Greek Orthodox Church. I think there's a few more hurdles there. You've done the research.
They've done the research, she says.
That's what she meant by the research. So you've done. Excuse me. You've done the research. I think you're fine. I think you're okay. From your perspective, right? It's like he's not Catholic, okay? Mm-hmm. You know, he's half Catholic, right? Mm-hmm. He's Orthodox. You know, we recognize their church's validity, not illicit. It's not like, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And at least it seems like he doesn't adopt the Orthodox position where it's like none of your sacraments are valid.
Yeah.
They don't accept our baptisms.
Yeah. You know? I'm just wondering if there's going to be a difference, like culturally, you know, like you get married, you move in, and the Orthodox wants to have his like home altar and the prayer corner set up, and the Catholic wants to have a keg there. You know,
the Catholic wants to, you know,
yeah,
you want to have a fish Catholic, fry during you,
the,
Lent.
The Orthodox wants to listen to chant and wants to venerate icons, and the Catholic wants to watch the Bears play on Sundays. And that's just going to be a tough thing to get through.
You want to go to a fish fry during Lent, but he gave up oils.
Yeah.
You know, like you can't eat oils during Lent.
Yeah. Hey, do you want to go out? There's a new adult barcade downtown. Sorry, I'm in the middle of my 80-day fast and I can't look at screens. Oh. I don't know what the Orthodox
fasting is crazy. It's one of the reasons why it hasn't exactly caught on as much as Roman Catholicism.
Yeah. We have so many exceptions.
Don't eat meat. They're the Jim Gaffigan beat. Don't eat meat unless you forget.
It made me so mad. I was at Mass on Sunday and the deacon's giving the homily. So you already know that I'm on edge, right?
Oh,
and he's like, is the second week of Lent. How are all of you feeling? Pretty tough, isn't it? I must admit, I ate meat on Friday because I forgot. And I was just like, I understand you're going for relatability, but that just completely undermines, like, what? I'm half of his age and I don't forget. You know, I've been doing Lent half as long as him and I don't forget. What?
One easy way to not forget is to simply do it every Friday.
Yeah, to always never eat meat.
That was the homily that we got on Sunday from Father Young Trad at my parish, who we're going to have on the podcast one of these days. I think he'd be a great guest. The parochial vicar of our church. He's great, Father Zach, but he gave a whole homily. He was like, a lot of people, you know, we used to give up meat every Friday, but we don't anymore, right? Right? Wrong. He was like, Vatican II said, give up meat or do something else. So now that you know that, you have to do it. So think about what are you going to give up? And he goes, you might as well just give up meat every Friday. It's not.
It's really easy.
It's so much easier. And I was telling Phoebe, I was like, this is how you know the bishops are out of touch with like just humanity in general. Mm-hmm. Because everybody who's ever managed people before knows if you tell someone to do anything, they'll do nothing. Just pick something.
Pick something.
Okay, I'm gonna forget. So
yeah. I'm just not gonna,
I'm gonna
take
change
action.
It every week, you know.
I think that you should continue dating this Orthodox guy, and you should continue being open about how you feel. I don't think you should hide how you feel. I think if you sense that there is a divergence or some resentment beginning to grow, you shouldn't get married with like a nagging feeling in the back of your head.
Yeah.
You know, you so like I hear what you're saying. Like there's no reason. Yeah. Save the nag until you are married. There's no reason why you shouldn't move forward. You've done the research. You know what you have to do. But if you're worried that you're going to resent someone, that's kind of like a yellow flag, in my opinion, to maybe slow down, talk to a priest, talk to an Orthodox priest, kind of get the two priests together when they start wrestling,
have
sneak out the
fight.
Back. Yeah. Sit on the truck bed and say, you know what? Maybe this isn't for us. And then part ways. Or don't. Maybe the priests get along and you get married.
If you're legitimately worried that you're going to resent each other, that's a yellow flag. But if you're just doing the thing where you're catastrophizing and you're like, what if we resent each other, but you've never resented each other before? I think you're fine. Yeah. That's why it's a
yellow
flag.
What if a bomb drops on your head right now? Exactly.
What
you could die in a car crash. You could die in a car crash today. You could die. We go to a war with Iran and or China and or Russia. And then, you know, what are you going to do then?
Matter at all.
You might as well just keep moving forward. I would say don't be afraid, but be smart and don't ignore signs that things are going poorly. But
I know a vocation instructor likes to tell a story about a young seminarian who every morning would wake up and grab the sink and he would stare at his crucifix above his bathroom mirror. And he would say, Jesus, are you calling me to be your priest? And he did that every day for the first year of seminary. He did that every day for the first year of seminary until one day he walked out and got hit by a bus. So it turns out it didn't matter. Spending all that time worrying about what God wanted him to do, it turns out God just wanted him to get hit by a bus.
Yeah. That's a cool story. I love that story. That's really great. We should change it to a bomb drops on his head.
We should change it to he's a priest in a war-torn part of the world.
Yeah, a seminarian in a war-torn part of the world.
Yeah.
Desperate to know God's will for his life. And a United States Air Force drone. I'm joking. We're making light of a serious situation.
Of a serious
situation.
That's what
situation. We do on this podcast. All right. Do another question.
We have a theology question. Listen, I get to have some fun on this podcast.
Yeah, you get to have a little fun.
I have a Protestant friend who sincerely wants to understand the Catholic belief in the saints and intercessory prayer. Can anyone recommend articles, books, or YouTube video? No, this YouTube video right here. Like and subscribe.
This is the only one you need.
We're going to talk about it. I'm so used to asking the question and then you answering the question.
I can give some ideas. I think intercessory prayer is real, and anybody who says it's not is wrong. Patrick, your response.
He wants to understand the Catholic belief in the saints and intercessory prayer. It's funny because this is one of the things about Protestantism where it's like they've deconstructed Christianity and taken a bunch of stuff away that are just obvious parts, like essential parts of Christianity. And going, explain to me why you guys still do that thing. It'd be like if a person chopped off all their arms and went around to a person with arms who's like, explain it. What do you guys use those for? You know, come on. Like intercessory prayer is an essential part of the life of the church, and it has been forever.
Mm.
Because we've always prayed for each other, and we don't believe that we die after we die physically. And so there's no reason, like you're still, the people that are in heaven are still part of the body of Christ. And so the body of Christ can still communicate with itself.
And guy who doesn't believe in intercessory prayer, but believes in ghosts.
Yeah. So a lot of the objections you hear about intercessory prayer, it's like, oh, the saints, they can't hear you because they're dead. Okay. They're not dead.
They're alive
in Christ. First of all, okay, fine. But they're in heaven. They can't hear you. The devil's in hell, and the demons are in hell, and they can still hear us
Oh, yeah.
and influence us, right? So yeah.
What, that, we can open a portal lickety-split if we really wanted to.
Boom, you know?
Yeah.
So I'm not like, obviously, saints are more powerful than demons. God would obviously grant the warfare. And also, wouldn't they be able to hear us? Because again, the body can communicate with itself, and they're members of the body. So unless you're not a member of the body, you can communicate with the saints. And then normally to that, you get like the necromancy answer, and like people will bring up Saul communicating with Samuel as necromancy, and that was condemned by God. But God didn't condemn Jesus communicating with Moses and Elijah. And so what's the difference between those two events?
Big one.
Well, one is Saul was trying to communicate to receive hidden knowledge. So that's like occult, right? Whereas Jesus was just communicating with the saints. And again, necromancy is the dead. So saints aren't dead. And because you're members of the same body. So it's like you're not communicating with some foreign entity. You're communicating with someone who is more related to you than your own biological brother. I think people just don't understand the reality, how real the body of Christ is. It's not like a metaphor. It's not a joke. It's like you're closer to the body of Christ than your own family. That's why you can intercede, because you can talk to people that are in front of you, and the saints are more present to you than the person in front of you physically, because Christ's body is more real than the space between you. All right, that's all I got. What do you think? You got anything to add?
I think that's great. I think you can, if you're looking for articles or resources, typically all you need to do is Google Saint Intercessions
Catholic Answers.
Catholic Answers.
Yeah.
And you'll find what you need. Don't be afraid to look this stuff up with your friend. And just don't be afraid to have normal conversations with him. I think a good thing to do is to ask, why do you care about that? You know? And then they'll tell you, like, oh, well, I think it's idolatry. Okay, well, and then you can talk about, is it idolatry? Is it not idolatry? I think the best is just to figure out where they're coming from, because sometimes they're coming because they're just curious and they want to know. Sometimes they really think it's bad and they're doing it out of concern for you. And so how you respond and how you communicate with them is really important, because they might be doing it out of a place of charity. Like, oh, I think you're praying. I think you're doing necromancy and I want you to stop, you know? I've called the necromancy hotline and they've told me that I need to stop.
I need to get you.
Yeah. That'd be so bad. So sad to be addicted to necromancy, you know, like, dude, you just don't have any real friends. So you just have to keep resurrecting friends.
Bless me, Father, for I have sinned.
Bless me, Father, for I have sinned. I digged up another
grave. The dudes
grave.
In youth group who are talking about their habitual sin they struggle with is actually necromancy.
It's necromancy. It's like, I'm gonna start a Twitter account with an anime profile picture, and I'm gonna say, "Hey guys, I'm really struggling right now. I keep falling into habitual sin. Please pray for me." And then I'm gonna post a picture of me in the morgue.
Oh no! Not just the morgue. Not just the morgue. That has other implications.
What's wrong with the morgue? So if necroing the nance.
If you say I'm struggling with habitual sin,
that's true. All right. That's true. What's a safe family-friendly place where you could do necromancy where there wouldn't be any negative connotations about
just
it?
Just a graveyard, I think.
A graveyard? Who up graving the yard?
if you can fire all those arguments at your friend
by all
means, but if you want to know the most effective way to have conversations about the faith is you go to convinceyourfriends.com/battleplan. And we put everything, most everything that we know, into a concise, very quick 8-page PDF. convinceyourfriends.com/battleplan. That's basically, it's like everything that we talk about, like how to have a debate versus a discussion, the three major arguments you need to make for the church, all that stuff. So it's convinceyourfriends.com/battleplan. We don't talk about it enough on the podcast, but if you have a theology question like that, start there. If you have another one, please feel free to come in, because we can't let Ethan have all the fun. Come on.
What do you mean? I have a lot of fun.
I have a
fun loving rootin' tootin' guy. Oh my god, you're back to back with the kill shots for me.
No, this one's fun. I think it's going to be quick. Is it illicit to sing the Gloria as a lullaby during Lent? My 2-year-old decided that all she wants from me in life is to put her to sleep to Glory to God in the highest. Only on March 19th, the Feast of St. Joseph.
I think you can do that and it's fine. Maybe that's maybe put me in the surgical jail for that, but I
March 25th.
I don't, it's the guy, it's the meme. I don't care that you said the A word during Lent.
Yeah.
You know, I don't mind. I sing the, I sing out of season Marian hymns to my son to get him to fall asleep.
You've seen know, the Regina Chaley?
Throw like, the cuffs on. Yeah. Get me out of here.
Throw the cuffs on me.
No, I'll do the, well, I start with Tantum Ergo. And that's what Peter says to me. He's like, it's bedtime. And he leans down on my shoulder and I'm walking with him. And he goes, sing Tantum Ergo, Daddy.
So then I sing Tantum Ergo. I love that. That's so great.
And then I just sing Tantum Ergo, and then I sing the Salve Regina, and I sing Holy God, We Praise Thy Name, and then I sing, what's it, O Salutaris. And I just do those four on a loop, because when Peter was younger, like a year ago, it took him like an hour to go to sleep, and so all I could do was just sing, and those were the only songs that I just had memorized, and I just would sing them over and over and
those
over
those ones
again.
You had in your back pocket. Yeah. Those are good. Leo loves those. He really likes Be Thou My Vision right now. True Irish
Ooh.
Boy.
Oh. I've been singing The Rattling Bog.
I'm not familiar.
Oh, ho, the rattling bog, the bog down in the valley, oh, down the rattling bog. And then he goes on, and there was a limb down the limb on the branch on the tree and the hole in the bog down. And then they do, there's so many things, and they get faster and faster, and they're Irish.
Yeah.
It's really fun to
like
listen to.
Like there's a bump on a
to.
Frog on the log in the hole, you know.
Yeah, but instead of it being like an annoying song that you sing on the bus, it's like a good song that you would sing in a pub with a pint and your mates.
With your friends.
With your your fiddle and your wives and your ladies and your, oh, and the towns and the mayor's here.
Yeah. There's a restaurant in Pittsburgh on the south side called Hofbrauhaus. That Adam Minahan and I went there when he came to visit Pittsburgh.
No way.
It was great. It's like a German feast hall. The tables were all these long row tables, like picnic tables. And the ladies bring you the tubs of beer. And
tubs.
It's great. Tub. Dude, it's tubs. They're just ginormous beers.
We should get a tub.
And they sing drinking songs.
Not like a tub that is for like bathing, but maybe like a big... like a plastic tub that you would keep blankets in when you don't need them.
Oh, like a basket of some kind.
And we should fill it with beer, and then we should get straws, and we should drink out of it, and we should go live, and then we should not end the stream until all the beer is gone. Even
you
want to
do
like
jungle juice? You
want to
do a jungle juice stream?
You should do a jungle juice stream. That's the best idea I think we've ever had.
That's a really funny idea.
It's just, and then every time we could do a donation, you donate, we spin the wheel, whatever the wheel lands on, we pour into the jungle juice.
The stream ends when we finish the jungle juice or when one of us gets our stomach pumped. That's really funny.
Yeah. When the ambulance is taking me away, that's when the stream
this
ends.
Is why we're not on the focus list, by the way.
That's true. But I think it's funny. I think we're allowed to joke about having jungle juice. Come on.
I do think it's funny. I think this is the kind of thing that college students need to hear. I learned what a Borg was this weekend because of St. Patrick's Day. I had never heard of it before. Do you know what a Borg is? A big old rage gallon. It's a gallon of various alcohol and electrolyte, Pedialyte, and flavoring that people in Boston take out to St. Patty's Day parties. And they're illegal. Like you can't have them, obviously. And they have because it's open. It's open containers.
What? Oh, the open container law is crazy to me. You're telling me that I could have this beer closed, and you'd be like, "All right," but I have it open, not even drinking it, but just the fact that it's open, and you're arresting me.
Yeah, I
explain
think
that.
But it's a Borg, and they'll write things on the Borg, like a pun, like a song lyric, but they'll replace one of the words with Borg. Anyway,
do they open container for other things? Like if you have a baggie of cocaine and it's closed
in Pennsylvania, you can purchase alcoholic slushies from drive-through gas stations.
It's incredible.
And it counts as a closed container because they put a straw in and then they take a piece of tape and put it on top of the straw.
Based.
Isn't that ridiculous?
That's cool. I love
that. You can just remove the tape and put it back. What do you mean? I always thought that was fun. I never got a Pittsburgh alcoholic slushie, but
we should go back.
I should have. I can always go back.
Hey, thank you for listening to this episode of The Crunch.
Sorry to interrupt what I'm sure is a stimulating intellectual conversation, but I wanted to pause the episode real quick to let you hear from some of our sponsors. We will be back right after this.
All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to paint their door a vibrant shade of blue. Others have the need to decorate their bathroom with fish, anchors, and other nautical items. And because each homeowner has unique needs, GEICO helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with GEICO.
Okay, this is a sad one from Crab Rangoon.
Oh.
Okay, y'all. How much space should you take after a breakup from your ex? I'm in the same friend group as my ex-boyfriend. I don't know if I should just avoid the group for a while or what. We still get along, but things are awkward. I'm having a rotten time mentally, though, so being around people is kind of a necessity. I'm also feeling compelled to discern religious life. That happens after you break up with someone, like I should just go be celibate.
She broke up with someone, but they're still in the same friend group?
Yeah.
I think you just got a case of the late winter blues. You know, it's almost spring. It's not quite spring yet. And you're sad because you've been inside all winter long. And it's the end of the season. And it's still kind of cold out. And school's still going on. Everything's kind of weird, you know. There's no vacations. There's no fun. There's no fun. There's nothing fun happening.
Spring break. What are you talking about?
Spring break. Spring break's a good time. But I think you're just kind of, I think you're seasonally ill. I think you could, this is what happened to me every year when I was a student in school. I would be studying for finals and I'd be like looking up seminaries near me, you know.
Looking up seminaries. Yeah. They just send you to one. You don't choose.
Yeah, but I was looking them up to see like which one I would like, want to go to.
Which one is there, like, you know, I'm going to go to Mundelein.
Is there a basketball court at this one? And so I would do that because I was really upset with my, I was like studying. I was like, I don't want to study, dude. And instead of just like studying and passing the tests, I was like, certainly I can't be, this is not right, the right place for me. I should be a priest because then I would never have to do anything hard. And I think that's just a silly, I think this is just a natural human thing where you just are looking for some way that, some easy fix that will solve all. It was like, oh, if I was just religious, all my problems would be solved. No, they wouldn't. Your life would probably get harder if you were religious because you'd be living by yourself with a bunch of women, one bathroom. You know that everybody's getting stinky under those habits. So that's
it's hot in there.
No AC in the convent. Nobody tells you that when you sign up. So I don't know. I would just get some perspective. Take a couple days.
Plus, they're the same people, and you don't get to choose who comes and who dies. So you're stuck with them.
You're stuck.
Imagine a friend group you can never leave. That's a convent. People don't think about that. I will say this problem right here, and I know you can't Crab Rangoon, you can't do anything about this, but this problem right here is why I am against mixed sex friend groups. Your friend group should be your girls, and your friend group should be your boys. So then, you know, the friend groups can like come together and intermingle, but the core needs to be the fellas and the ladies. Like none of this regular, you know, mixed friend group nonsense. Because then you have this problem where you're like, I don't know the friends. I don't want to lose my friend group. That would not happen if they were your girls and not your friend group. You know, your weird platonic polycule. You got to cut that out.
Wow. The only thing worse than this is when you like are in a mixed sex friend group and you almost date someone and everybody knows that you kind of almost date someone and there's like attraction, but then you like back off of it and then you're just in it and it's weird. I've seen this happen. I've been involved in this maneuver a few times myself. And
it sucks when the friend group convalesces around two people that have kind of brought the group together for the sake of dating and then they date or don't date. And it's like, why am I the side character in this Drew Barrymore, Jimmy Fallon movie?
Yeah, I would say get rid of your friends. No, that's not what Patrick
said.
No,
I'm just kidding.
How old is Crab Rangoon? Do we know? Do we remember?
24.
Okay, so she's out of college.
Yeah, she's out.
Okay. So I think this is
mixed sex friend group. That's out of college, even more cringe, actually.
It, yeah, it's but then it's like, if you want to get married, what else do you do? You know?
That's fair.
Yeah.
I think the friend groups can come together briefly.
Yeah. You can have you're allowed once a week hangout on the weekends with the girl group, can meet up with the guy group, and you can go to a bar, and it's fun. It's like cheers, yeah. Right? Go bowling. Have a good time. But for like a Tuesday night hangout, you know? You know, you just need the girls. You don't need
friends
to see a guy on a weeknight, you know? That's a terrible idea.
Heck. Friends ruined what we thought friendships should be like, and we know what. Mm-hmm. Like, but it was also a really, if we were paying attention, it was a great illustration, if somewhat exaggerated, of the problems that happen when you have a mixed gender friend group. Is they all date each other for no reason?
Yes.
Joey and Rachel, come on. We all have a Joey and Rachel in our friend group. That it's like, guys, Troy and Britta, come on.
I don't know what that means.
Why'd that need to happen?
I do think Elaine and Jerry and Kramer and George, they pull it off, you know. But that's because they're all hopeless and miserable people. So you have to be, if you're going to be in a mixed friend group, you have to be a miserable person in order for it to work. You cannot have any joy or hope for humanity. You have to have given up.
Sure.
And that's fine if you want to give up. That's the time that you can be in a mixed gender friend group. But if you have... if you're like looking forward to things in your life, if you want to have kids, if you want to be successful, if you want to be happy, you can't do it.
Yeah, don't base your friend group construction off of NBC sitcoms. They needed to throw the girls in there because you can't just have an ensemble cast of all dudes. Like it's kind of lame. Unless it's Entourage.
I don't know what you're referencing. I want another
Entourage
question. Let's help more people.
Question for the men. Is it just me or is he not into me? Context. He exchanged numbers, asked to exchange numbers. I said, I don't do that until a video call. Oh, they must be on.
This is long. This is online dating.
They must be online. That I was like, he's in person. And you're like, I need to talk to you on FaceTime first before I know what your phone number is.
I need to see what your good angles are on a FaceTime before I'll go on a date with you.
I need to make sure that you don't look weird on camera. I said you're photogenic at least. Then he said he was busy the next couple of weeks, and then this guy, I'll only be able to send emails until then. Girl, I understand. Guy,
do you?
I may have some time next Tuesday or Thursday. What time are you normally available? Great, I'm available after 5:30 p.m. on Thursday. What career do you have? ? Girl, I work as an actuary, which means a lot of data analysis and number crunching. Dude, a day later. I don't know if I can chat on Thursday. I'm super behind. I lost my phone yesterday. Girl says I've had a tendency towards chasing guys in the past. Not to the guy. This is just her talking to us now.
Sure.
She did a screenshot of the conversation. That's what I was talking about. I've had a tendency towards chasing guys in the past. I want to let myself be pursued. I'm not about playing games or playing hard to get, but I also don't want to be too easy to get. Question for the men. Is he into me or is he not into me?
I mean, this could go one of two ways. This guy could either be like a bonehead who just genuinely is like, can't keep track of his own, you know,
life.
Yeah, he's like losing his phone. He doesn't know what's going on. He can only use email for weeks at a time. I don't know what circumstance in your life happens where you can only communicate via email.
He's on a base in Antarctica and he can't talk on the phone because they're hiding from the deranged guy who's also with them at the research base in Antarctica.
In today's day and age, yes, I did hear about that. In today's day and age, anywhere that you could send an email, you could also send a text.
It's true.
This is there. It just is a weird. It's like maybe he's a time traveler and he's going back to 2001 when email. He's gonna try to stop 9/11 and he can only send emails while he's doing it. Maybe. Do you think I'm wrong?
We go to the 9/11 well a bit too much, I think.
That's fine. So did George W. Bush, but that didn't stop him from using it to get reelected.
Al Gore wouldn't have been able to handle 9/11.
No, Al Gore could barely. Al Gore was sending emails for weeks. I'll tell you that much. Mm-hmm. One email.
Al Gore would have hopped on the news on 9/12, been like, "This is why we got to stop climate change. The planes are, you know, getting driven into place." Okay, sorry.
I think for this woman, she needs. You got to stop thinking too hard. Should I be too easy to get? Should I be too hard to get? Should I pursue him or should I? Why are you up in your own? You're playing mind games with nobody except yourself. This is a waste of your precious calories that you eat and consume every day for your brain to be working on problems such as, am I too easy to get or too hard to get? You know, we were designed to be building shelters and gathering food, and you're wasting your brain power on how easy is it to mate with me? You know?
Yeah.
I think
your brain wasn't designed for this. The best way to know if someone likes you is to ask. Now, you can't just ask him over text, whatever. But I think what you're dealing with here is you're just trying to figure out a schedule, and you're like, am I being pursued? Am I pursuing? Like, stop using the word. You're overthinking it. Catholic girls get in their head about, like, I need to be pursued. Like, he needs to pursue me, and if he doesn't, he's not interested. Which can be true, but it's also like sometimes dudes are just busy. And you are one of the five girls he's talking to on Catholic Match because he's one of the five guys you're talking to on Catholic Match. And it's just you're dealing with, you know, online dating, very low commitment thing. And he's got a bunch of other things in his life he's worried about. And so do you. And it's just, you know, that's just how it is. It's don't read into every little detail because most people are not thinking about the relationship all the time until like the 2 months when it starts. And then that's all they're thinking about.
I'm just confused at this guy's conversation patterns. I just really don't understand them because I don't think they're sufficiently explained by I'm talking to multiple women on Catholic Match.
You don't think so?
I lost my phone and I can't use any communication other than email for several weeks. What? Is he in the CIA? No. Are you dating a spook?
Until then, I'll only be able to send emails.
Oh, because he lost his phone. I see. Yeah, I don't know. I think just give it a chance. Just keep trying.
Oh yeah, no, he'll only be able to send emails for a couple of weeks.
It doesn't take a couple of weeks to get a new phone.
It takes a day.
It takes a day. You walk in to the Verizon store, you pick one off the rack, and you say, "Slam it down on the counter, sign me up, Johnny."
When we were in Israel, my wife left her she wasn't there. She was back home, but she left her phone on the roof of a car and drove away with it. And then she got a new phone next day.
That's really funny.
It was really funny.
Did she try to go back and find it, or should you say, I'm not even?
She did try to go back and find it, but it was on like an on ramp in Houston. I was like, he shouldn't have done that. Shouldn't have gone back. Should have been like, we lost it. Yeah, but it do not ever put things on the roof of your car. That is not a place to store things. You will forget about it. It'll be gone forever. That's a problem. Mm-hmm. I was driving past, I was driving down the road and I look over to me and I see this person drive. It was a girl driving a car. And I look up and lo and behold, there's an Android right up there on the roof. And I roll down my window and I say, "Hey, your phone is on the roof." Like she's like, "Oh my gosh." I'm like, "Don't slam on your brakes. Just slow down." She like is about to slam on the brakes. It's funny. Ah, Ethan froze. Dang it. That's the worst.
You're like a mobile 911 operator, you know?
Yeah, I'm like Halle Berry in that one movie.
Yeah, where the purse is stuck in the trunk.
Yeah, dude, that was a crazy movie. That was a creepy movie. Don't watch that movie. That movie sucked.
No, I'm not watching that.
I don't like. I don't like movies with serial killers in them because I'm like, how did the writer come up with that? I don't like that he did that. I don't like that he thought about. I don't like that he thought about that. I wanted to check his hard drive. I mean, I want someone else to check his hard drive. All right. Being alternative as a guy and dating. I struggle with some thoughts as a guy. I find myself liking goth, alternative, and independent music, and sometimes I dress in a vaguely alt aesthetic. I have no piercings and tattoos, but I still worry this will be viewed negative. My alt aesthetic will be viewed negatively by some women. I feel like I'm stuck in an in-between space where I'm not normie or trad enough as a Catholic guy, but my values are still incompatible with secular women. I want nothing more than to be a husband and a father someday, but I want to know what the women think. Ethan, what do you think?
Your question is, can Catholics be goth? Is that the question?
Can Catholics be goth?
It just depends on what kind, you know? Are you a goth who likes, you know, like metal music, you know, and you kind of wear like band t-shirts, and maybe you're into maybe the skate scene, and you got the, you know, maybe you shopped at Hot Topic as a kid, but it's not really your thing. Or are you the type of guy who wears Invader Zim merch as an adult?
Are you the kid from my middle school who had a Slipknot shirt for every day of the week, including holidays like St. Patrick's Day and Valentine's Day?
Are you custom making My Chemical Romance sweatshirts with paint that you found in the garage?
Do you still listen to teenagers, like not nostalgically, just for fun?
Do you talk about
song by My Chemical Romance?
Do you talk about Skrillex, but from when he was in a band before he was Skrillex, and call him Sonny? That's a niche reference. Some people out there will get that.
Some people
Skrillex
remember.
Was in a post-hardcore band before he was a DJ. Skrillex. Some people call him Sonny, not me. Do you wear bracers on your wrist? Do you have a keychain that is black and hot pink or neon blue?
Do you like wear bow ties, suspenders, and fedora?
You're just like talking about theater kids now. That's not even a goth kid. It's just a theater guy.
Oh man.
I think you can be goth and Catholic. What you're describing is you like an aesthetic, which is fine. It's fine to have an aesthetic preference. And I think anybody who's, someone was saying online the other day, they were complaining about the guys who go to church who wear the suits and the pipes and the shoes
and the
whole thing.
Whatever.
And they were like, this can't be real. This can't be authentic. These people are only doing it because it's a LARP. And it's like, have you considered that some people just like something different than you? I think this is one of those cases. Some women might not like the goth aesthetic, as you call it. Or the alternative aesthetic, if we want to stray.
The good news is that only one woman needs to like it.
Exactly. And it is kind of cool. I think it's fine to have somewhat of a resurgence of 2009. You know, I think it's a fine time to try and
to be growing our hair out and doing like the straightening and like the swooping, the never shout never. Like, I think we need that back. I think we need like really skinny dudes with Nirvana t-shirts pulled down like this, like they're pulling them down like this. They're kind of like looking at the camera. Like, you know how they did that? They like, they would kind of be really close. They'd be like looking up.
You need to wear a beanie and you need to shove your hands into your pockets and you need to point your toes inward and kind of stare at the camera.
Yeah. And we need to read The Perks of Being a Wallflower again.
Yeah. We need to get Vans and we need to just don't, you can't go too far into this. You got to be very tactful.
No, because
I do think, because at a certain point, and this is true of any aesthetic, if it becomes a replacement for personality, then it's no good, right? Yes. You can have, I'd like to dress a certain way for work, and when I'm out and about, it's probably, you would call it more preppy, you know? And I think that's fine. I think it's fine to dress that way, but I don't like make my personality preppy. I just like to dress well when I can.
Yeah, you're not putting multiple polos on, popping all the collars and calling yourself Chauncey and talking about lacrosse.
If you're going around and you're like, oh, the music, Sabrina Carpenter sucks. I like when music was good. And then you play a song by Paramore. That's going to upset some people. Not because you're wrong, but just because you're annoying. You know?
I like when music was good. Radioactive by Imagine Dragons. I remember when there was real rock and roll.
Yeah. I don't know. Did he? I kind of got so keyed in on the goth thing, I didn't hear the rest of the question.
Oh, he was curious. He worries that he will be viewed negatively by most Catholic women, and he's stuck in space where he's not normie or trad. Enough.
That's fine. Who cares? Normie trad only exists online. Most women, if they're worth marrying, I saw another post today that was like, the best woman is highly intelligent, and incredibly ignorant.
Yes.
This is true.
Yes.
You want right. a woman that's smart, who loves you, but just doesn't know. Like if you say to her, are you an NPC? And she's like, what? Is that a type of food? You know, that's what you want. So ideally you just find someone who likes it.
This is who you need to marry in your life. I said, I was talking about how, you know, the latest Andrew Tate drama, and she said, who? And who? I was like, I love you so much.
That's a beast.
That's amazing. That's so cool. Imagine not knowing, like, that's who you need. You need someone who is incredibly smart, but incredibly ignorant. She's like, you talk about the tariffs. And she's like, there's something going on with tariffs. Like, great.
It's tariffs.
Amazing. She's an amazing mother to our children. And you don't need to know about
the Smoot-Hawley Act.
You don't need to know about Ukraine. And you don't need to know about what's going on in the news. You just, you know, she's just taking care of the kids and she's helping out at the church. Like that's right. good. I don't need to know about all these things.
I think this might set you apart, because I do think that most Catholic women are a little bit tired of the binary option being addicted to sports betting, premarital sex haver Catholic, or trad LARPer Catholic.
Do we need a tweed guy.
We need a third type of guy, and I think it's you. I think it's guy who still thinks that Blink 182 is the greatest band of all time. You know, I think you can.
I mean,
do that.
They're not out of the running.
This is crazy. I can't believe we're having this conversation right now. It's the most insane thing you've ever said.
All right, that's good.
I think this is good. It's a great. Thank you guys for joining. We're gonna share one comment from our YouTube channel. Patrick's gonna pull up the comment of the week, and we're gonna do this every week. And usually we're gonna be more prepared. We're gonna have it ready, but this week,
yes. In the meantime, Ethan, tell them about the sale's gonna end by the time they hear this. Never mind. Tell them about the course and how they can get the battle plan, and tell them why they should get the battle plan.
You missed it last week. We did the course Pay What You Want, but you missed out. So instead, if you want what's in the course but a super abbreviated, not as in-depth version, you can go to convinceyourfriends.com/battleplan, and you can get all the things we were talking about, like liturgy and like how to have good conversations with people who aren't necessarily plugged in the same way. It's a great document. It's a short read. It's an easy read. It gives a ton of great frameworks, conversational tips and tricks so that you can have better conversations about your faith with your family, with your friends, with people that hate you, with people that love you. convinceyourfriends.com/battleplan. Patrick, I need a good comment from our YouTube channel on the most recent podcast episode.
You're not going to like this one. This one comes from Shervon 5773. Stumbled upon this in my feed. The Jewish one gives good advice. Thank you. Thanks, guys. That was the best comment.
You know what?
Ethan Stuvestein.
Listen.
Stevie Berg.
Okay. Fine. You know what? Fine. Mazel tov. Boker tov. What do you want me to say?
Boker tov. Oh, man.
What do you? Is it a crime? Is it a crime to look a little Jewish? What do you? I feel like you got me. I feel like I'm in a schwitz right now with how much pressure is on me. You know,
I don't think there's pressure involved in a schwitz.
I don't know what they do in there because I don't go in there.
I'm not Jewish.
I don't get invited to the schwitz in the same way that they do.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah. Good. All right. Thanks, everybody. We'll talk to you next time.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to paint their door a vibrant shade of blue. Others have the need to decorate their bathroom with fish, anchors, and other nautical items. And because each homeowner has unique needs, GEICO helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with GEICO.